everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Groves.
My name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast slash mental health check-in for two broken brain best friends laughing the pain away with film. You know, we like to talk around the issues rather than about the issues. It's the male way, you know?
Yeah, man.
So before I get to what we're doing this week, how are you doing this week, Ben? How is this film relevant to your week? How did it help? How does it sum up your feelings about your life and your troubles and your ills?
I'm exhausted. So this film helped me realize that, because by the end of watching this, I was also exhausted. So that was good.
Yeah.
I keep having these really fucking weird, intense dreams, like photorealism, third person.
Right, okay.
You're watching yourself.
Did you have the one where you had to find the shark toaster with the dream lobster again?
No, not again. Not that one.
Okay.
This is more sort of like I'm watching myself from a third perspective act out things, and I'm like, well, that isn't healthy.
Right.
And okay, then it's like a shit film. You know what I mean? Like a 1 out of 10 film.
Are we talking horror? Are we talking romance? Are we talking drama?
All of them. It's like Cobweb meets the 5-year engagement. You know what I mean? It's shit. It's shit. Overall, though, things are calming down a little bit, so that's quite nice.
Nice.
Gym, work, podcast.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, okay. So this film was quite useful this week, because every week you ask how I'm doing, like, what's going on in my life? And to be honest, not much. And I know you say, you know, it's good. Boring is good and boring is healthy and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I've realized I'm quite an impatient man, and I think this film's really good proof of just how slow positive change is compared to the speed of like negative collapse. Like I can fuck my life up completely in a week and everything will be totally different.
In a week? That's fucking amateur numbers, man. You need to up those figures like an hour.
But I feel like to get true, devastating, permanent collapse,
you want to commit a couple of days to it. A
couple of days, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And after those couple of days, my life will be materially, physically, emotionally, spiritually very, very different.
Yes.
On Friday than it will be on Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
If I want to undo those changes, years.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things I'm doing now are positive.
Yeah.
And they are changing my life and they're changing it for the better. You know, it's learning to drive, it's putting money away, it's paying off debt. But it's so fucking long and slow.
It's boring. It's the best way to look at it, right, is it's going to take you a lot longer to learn how to take off with a plane and get to a stable
this is exactly
altitude,
it. This
right?
This is exactly it.
But if you want to crash the plane, it's fucking 30 seconds of meow, you know
right.
what I mean?
And as an impatient man, I just fucking, it's just dull, man. And it's all good and it's all positive and it's all like, yeah, great. What did you do? Oh, I paid off some debt. And what else did you do? Sat in a room because I couldn't afford to do anything else. It's fucking dull. And Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is the perfect fucking demonstration of that. Because Afterlife took 15 fucking years to make.
Yeah.
Right?
They got that plane off the ground. They got to the altitude. Everyone was safe and happy. Everyone had a bag of peanuts, a fucking mimosa. You know what I mean?
And
they
then
were
that
loving
plane
life.
Fucking got to New York, and it was the worst plane-related thing that happened in New York ever.
Oh, I knew that that was coming. I didn't know how it was going to come, but I knew it was coming. I can't even dispute it. You know what I mean?
So, for those of you who clicked on a podcast episode without reading the title, thank you. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your trust.
Welcome on in.
But this will be about the movie Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Ben, what are we getting into today?
Today, buddy, we're going to be getting into why Ghostbusters is so goddamn hard to write a sequel for.
Yep, but also why this just may not be the sequel for us. Maybe there is hope. Maybe other people are right. Maybe we're wrong.
The infuriating plot holes that seem to be fucking rife in this movie.
Yeah, we're not wrong. Or how we want to see Ghostbusters move forward and much, much more.
So, for context, this movie is the most recent sequel in the Ghostbusters franchise.
Mm.
After Afterlife breathed new life into the franchise, we wanted to cover it, as it has a big place in my heart. It helped me through many a tough time.
Yeah, Ghostbusters is your comfort franchise. Like, we've covered every Ghostbusters movie to date.
We have.
But we have to come back to the start, which is like, this is your little pink blankie, you know? It's what you rub on your face
This is that one teddy that weird middle-aged adults have that are just sort of like, I've had it since I was four. And I'm like,
Yeah. The one girls have to like hurriedly like hide off the bed, put under a pillow. Mr. Tinkles can't see this.
Yeah. Look away, Jeffrey. This isn't for your eyes. Your beat little eyes are too pure. I mean, I'm cracking that joke. I have a rabbit called Bunny that I've had since I was a kid. So I am that person I'm describing. So, you know.
I had a little teddy bear called Mr. Twofools, and I gave it to a girlfriend once to borrow because she was ill. And then it turned out not only was she physically ill, she was very mentally ill. And
ate it.
Basically, yeah. And then I lost my childhood teddy. To somebody I'd been dating for like 2 years who lost their fucking mind. Wow. And now I don't have a teddy anymore.
That's genuinely devastating.
And the moral of the story is never be kind. Never be kind.
The moral of the story is Bunny is staying under the fucking pillow. All right.
So look, this is the latest installment in your Bunny, right? This is your film Bunny.
This is the one. It came out in 2024. It's a direct sequel to Afterlife. It had a budget of $100 million and it made $199 million.
Oh.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, it's fine in the same way that Ghostbusters 2 made $220 million in the 80s and they were like, it's a flop.
Yes, that is exactly what it is. But yeah, this one is somehow like lauded as like, yeah, it's a good sequel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Look, I'm as a fan of Christopher Nolan, mate, it's one bill or nothing. Like, oh, you made a film and it didn't make a bill.
Ugh.
Amateur, bruv.
I'll watch that on my phone when I'm on the back of a National Express bus, shall I? Where are my Panavision IMAX cameras? At the bottom of the ocean. Yes, they are, because I can afford to destroy them, cunt.
For our American listeners, National Express is like Greyhound, but worse.
Worse. Somehow, indefinitely worse. Shall we get into a breakdown, buddy?
Let's get into a breakdown. So I panicked and totally forgot to write a breakdown this week because I am not a well man.
Okay.
But I did manage to find somebody who'd written one on IMDb that was brief enough to be used.
That's fine.
But also not funny. So I've tried to punch it up a bit.
Okay.
There's a lot of grammar in this that isn't mine. I'm going to be honest, I did this in 5 minutes.
That's fine.
Would you like to hear... You asked for the breakdown jingle to be changed. It's fair. Yes. You sent me a voice note of being very upset and I'd spun it into a comedy thing, trying to turn that frown upside down.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
But like every week.
6 weeks ago, it was awesome.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I've updated it. All right. So
thanks,
so
man.
This is your first time hearing it. I'm just going to drop it in the chat and give that a listen and let me know what you think.
All right. Sound.
Hey man, sorry for the late one.
For fuck's sake.
Been a little absent. Having a bit of a wobble. Just think I'm having a bit of a breakdown. Having a bit of a breakdown.
Is that better?
It's such a violent personal attack. It's unreal. Like,
I mean, it just sounds like some people can't be fucking pleased, Ben. I've had clients like you before.
The auto-tune brings a whole new dimension to it. I'm a fan of it.
Okay.
I didn't realise that I was that talented as a trap rapper. You know what
You're
I mean?
Like a somehow even whiter Post Malone.
Oh, mate. But thank you for the new breakdown. That is delicious. You are an absolute stellar gem of a person. And the fact that this is all available for everyone to listen to makes it that much more violating. It's lovely. Yeah.
The film begins in New York, 1904, with a bunch of firefighters running into a hotel room and noticing a bunch of frozen people in the hotel room before one of the firefighters spots an orb, which opens and closes and plays back a recording of some evil Kandarian Book of the Dead style shit. Actually, a great start so far. I was on board.
I'll agree. Great start. Back in modern day, the Spenglers chase down an ice dragon and capture it in a drone before Gary drives the car into a bunch of bicycles and dickless Walter Peck, who is now the mayor, benches Phoebe from the Ghostbusters until she is 18 and accuses the others for damaging the city. I see what you mean about the grammar now, mate. That was nothing but commas there. That was nothing but commas. That was hard. All right. Gary tries to place the captured ghost in the fire station containment unit, but the fucker is so full, he's basically pushing an American tourist onto a Japanese bullet train at rush hour.
To get over her distance.
All right, well, that's wildly offensive to like a solid 47% of our audience, right?
I mean, dude, listen to the breakdown jingle if you want to know the vibe.
Yeah, fair. No one's safe. Fuck you.
To get over her disappointment at being cut from the team for fucking no reason, Phoebe goes out and plays chess with her young ghost mate Melody, who died in a fire with her family, but for some reason still wears makeup. Meanwhile, do souls wear makeup? That's a question raised by this fucking... Apparently, false eyelashes still need them in the afterlife.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Maybe it's unfinished business.
Meanwhile, Trevor notices slime on his bedroom ceiling. I mean, he's got range, I'll give him that. And he goes up to the attic to try and capture the ghost. But he sees a pile of sweet wrappers before Slimer reveals itself and covers him in slime.
We've not seen that before.
This will be his entire arc for the entire film.
Yes. A man named Nadim sells a haunted orb to OG Ghostbuster Ray for $50 in Ray's Wiccan tat shop. That's so upsetting.
It's when true, though,
yeah, when Ray tests for PKE, the orb unleashes a bunch of ice and releases the ghosts from the containment unit at the firehouse into the atmosphere. This grammar is shocking, mate. I'm dyslexic, and fuck me.
This is called outsourced creativity, Ben, all right? It's called lifting things wholesale and then criticizing them for not being good enough.
I think the comma key on this person's keyboard might be broken. Right. Winston and a group of other investigators analyze the compartment, and they are taken to Winston's Ghostbusters HQ secret private lab, which looks more like a level from The Last of Us than it has any right to. That is painfully accurate. It's more Last of Us Part 2, but, you know, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Phoebe discovers other ghosts being kept captive for research, and the group are shown a machine where they safely dispose of a ghost. Is this the soul separation machine where they can take the haunting out of an object like a Sony Walkman?
Yeah, I've tried to trim a lot of this for...
It's cool. It's cool.
Phoebe, Ray, and Podcast go to the local library where Nadim is tested and confirmed to be a Firemaster. Basically, think Zuko from that totally accurate and much-beloved Last Airbender movie Shyamalan did.
Fuck off. Fucking shocking film.
What's controversial about that?
I fucking hate it so bad.
Incredibly accurate. Best The Last Airbender that exists.
I will fight you.
The trio are told that the orb is possessed by a horned king who wants revenge on the human race for dismantling his body. Once the orb is tested, it causes the other ghosts in captivity to become agitated. Just outside the library, Phoebe and the gang destroy a lion statue which was possessed, and they get arrested.
That whole fucking scene is so stupid. Yeah. I'm not going to get into it right now. We will do shortly, but fuck me. Now get ready for some plot salad! The mayor arrests Phoebe, but she is immediately set free, and the Spenglers spend one last night at the firehouse. Gary and Callie fire her from the Ghostbusters. Later, Gary goes to talk to Phoebe, but she has gone back to hang out with Melody. Phoebe then develops the idea to turn herself into a ghost for 2 minutes, but when she does, Melody captures her in a hope to see her family again, hands her over to the orb, releasing the ghostly king before Phoebe gets back to her normal self. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Pause and take a breath in your sentences, man.
No.
Holy shit.
The film doesn't. Why should they?
Gary. No. Oh, yeah, to be fair. Gary has come to see Phoebe to tell her that she's not in trouble, but rather they were worried about her. The Spenglers head back to the firehouse where the other Ghostbusters and Nadim are.
Yep. Look, man, we're stealing their content, all right? So let's not, wait. I've lifted this wholesale off IMDb. I think it's a little bit rich to be like, oh, this content I've stolen's a bit weak, isn't it?
It's not weak, it's incredible. It's just very unexpected.
It's like, why is my pirated game crashing? Fucking developers.
This is why I like reading self-published books, because they're all over the shop. It's amazing. It's just chaos. Nadim practices his power while the rest of the gang keep an eye out for the demon ghost.
Will the Ghostbusters, old and new, triumph against our anorexic antagonist? It's Ghostbusters. Of course they fucking will. Do you think a family-friendly adventure film is going to end with the heat death of the human race? just bluish faces of new mothers forever held in the gaze of their children's frozen eyeballs.
I mean,
to be fair, the franchise might have been better off if they had.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, if that's how it's going to end, it's a better ending. You know what I mean?
There's no more Ghostbusters because they failed.
Fine.
And then that's just the end of all Ghostbusters forever.
Garaka was too powerful.
Yeah.
He was a mint villain. We utilized him correctly. He was in the film enough.
Yeah.
And he wasn't just sitting in an orb, but still able to use his powers to control ghosts and make everything icy.
The villain in this, who is trapped forever in an orb so he can't control ghosts but can still control ghosts, kind of strikes me like a sort of mafia boss in prison with like a phone that's been smuggled up someone's butt. He's still running things. He's like, oh, he's trapped. Yeah, but he's fucking cutting up garlic with a razor and having a lovely time.
But also, that prison cell is being carted around so he can just chat to all of his old buddies. So he doesn't need the bum phone. He can just have a casual chat through the very thin paper bars that are holding him into this fucking thing. Anyway, give me your initial reaction of the film. What are we saying?
So I went to see this at the cinema with a very dear friend.
Condolences.
Yeah. First watch in the cinema, big lights, big sound, good company. I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It was an episodic installment of a franchise. And yeah. Rewatching it for this, my God, my piss was boiling. It is just possibly the most insecure sequel I've ever seen.
Oh, that's a good way to sum it up.
It feels like they had a really good idea for a sequel.
Yeah.
And
then
just some fucker in the writing room is like, but are we sure about that? What if we add another layer of complexity? And then by adding plot complexity, they removed all character complexity, all emotional complexity, and just ended up with a thing that, as we've just discovered, is totally impossible to recap in any sort of concise way, because it's just stuff happening with callbacks and references and quick visual gags. Nobody behaves like a person. And there's no reason for any of it to happen. It's just insecure plotting where, like, let's throw all the shit at the wall and hopefully some of it will stick.
Yeah, okay. That's a fair sum up.
How about you?
I also went to see this at cinema. I was desperately excited for it after Afterlife. Mm-hmm. Afterlife came out and it was a phenomenal triumph. It took I almost said that in tune to that. That's really annoying. I came out of the cinema from watching Frozen Empire and I was like, maybe my expectations were too high.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's let it down. Because all I got from that was they've taken the comedy away from the Ghostbusters franchise, which is fine. It's a smart thing to do. After 2016, comedy doesn't really work in Ghostbusters in this day and age, which is understandable. But what they gave us instead was nothing. They were just sort of like, okay, so you've had drama, you've had deep personal insight, you've had forgiveness and abandonment and genuine like human issues that people suffer with.
What
we're going to do this time is we're going to undo all of it. We're going back to square one. No one believes in ghosts. The Ghostbusters are on square one again for the third fucking time. Enjoy.
Yeah.
And then it ended on such a fucking wisp where it was like this. All the actors in this film are incredible. They are incredible actors. They're all doing incredible jobs.
Yeah.
They've all fleshed out their characters to a place where they're believable people.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. Right?
Individually, they're all doing incredible work.
Yeah.
The villain, Garaka, fucking insanely cool villain.
Yeah.
Could have been something great. Possessor. Dude, insanely cool fucking new ghost thing, right? The concepts are crazy. And it just, there was nothing that happened of any substance. Everything just flops into place. And it's like, the only thing that I could compare it to is being a little kid and having a fruit roll-up for the first time and going, God, this is going to be the best fucking thing to roll down a hill. And then when I did, it just sort of casually, lazily went,
Blair.
In one spot. And I'm like, oh, that wasn't as impressive. I was thinking, that's exactly what this is. It's a shitty fruit roll-up for the first time and you're going, this is going to be the best!
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember Christmas? I'd always have these weird things. They're like Beyblades, but you'd pull the thing and it would take flight.
Yeah.
Right. So it's doing one of those and it just immediately catching like your mum's houseplant, tangling up a shitload of leaves, and then you're like, oh, well, now I'm in trouble.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You're like, yeah.
Me and my nephews used to have these, like, fucking, you know, the little parachute men.
Yeah, boy.
That we'd get for like family barbecues and stuff.
Little
and
plastic like, toy soldiers on a cellophane parachute. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the one family barbecue we had. We went and bought like a pack of them from Poundland. We were like loving life. We were like, bud, there's like 10 of them in here. We're gonna have so much fucking fun.
We can invade Laos. Yeah.
It's gonna be great. We go back. The first one that we throw up, we literally like, wrap it properly as the instructions tell you to. Mm-hmm. You throw it in the air. It starts floating down and lands directly onto the barbecue where it will slowly melt and die and also ruin the barbecue. And that is exactly what this film did. Afterlife throws it up, everyone's excited, and then it just slowly coasts to the fucking barbecue flame.
100%.
We've solved why Ghostbusters is so hard to sequel. The original film...
You say that. I mean, have we?
Okay, I have.
Good. Let me know.
I have. Subjectively.
Wisdom me.
Yeah, I'm going to wisdom you. This is subjectively, and it's all my personal insight, because obviously... there are a lot of people that enjoy this film and there are a lot of people that get stuff from the film, and that's very important, and we need to take notice of that because that's a great thing to happen. So who the fuck am I to tell you to not enjoy
something? Yeah.
But for me personally, I've solved why Ghostbusters is so hard to sequel.
Right.
So the original 1984 film is about a group of friends trying to make it, right?
Right.
And it's made by a group of friends trying to make it.
And the same was true of Afterlife. You know, it had that sense of like the things depicted in the film were the things being gone through by the filmmakers.
Yes, because it had something to say. It had a message. It had a point. The people making the film wanted to say something, and they had the right to say that.
Yeah.
How do you follow on from that?
I mean, you do the same thing again, right? So I've got how I would fix this film, and the way I would fix this film is you're the new writers, right?
Yeah.
You've been given the franchise. You're being asked to live up to the originals.
Sure.
Almost like the new fucking Ghostbusters must be right now.
Yes.
You could have made this whole film about the insecurity of the new Ghostbusters and their inability to feel confident in living up to the old Ghostbusters.
Yes.
While the old Ghostbusters are like, you've got this.
Yes.
Do they do that? Do they fuck?
They could also lean on the OG Ghostbusters and go, look, we're getting a lot of kickback right now.
100%.
It's making us feel like we're doing something we shouldn't be doing.
100%.
And they're like, look, you fucking believe in this.
This is your voice. This is you. Tell your own stories. Fight your own ghosts. We've got you. Would have been good.
Exactly. What an inspirational story that would have been. What a message that would have been to send to the new Ghostbusters fans. But it's not that. So the reason that I think that this is so hard to make is that it's not that it's the franchise is going down or it's bad writers or it's this, that, and the other. I think it's that people view it as an opportunity to do it for the sake of doing it. It's a studio's look at going, we can build on this, we can make it bigger, we can make it more profitable, we can give people, you know, we'll get bigger actors, we'll get bigger budgets, bigger CGI, this, that, and the other. We'll do callbacks. It's going to be great. Everyone's going to love it. But no one's saying anything with it. And I think it's a very sacred franchise that has to have a message. Otherwise, it just brings nothing to the table.
Yeah.
It hasn't got a voice. It has no soul. It's a group of great characters with great actors, fleshed out characters. Every single one of them are being let down by the bad writing and the
100%
reason that this film exists.
We know Finn Wolfhard can act. We've all seen Stranger Things. You know, give that guy stuff to do, he'll do it incredible. He spends his entire fucking film in an attic fighting a franchise mascot.
Oh, dude.
And getting slimed. Do you know what I mean? And he's in top billing and he does fuck all in this film except sit in an attic. And I think Ghostbusters as a franchise, you say, what is it about? And you go, it's about some guys zapping ghosts. And you're like, that's not a story. Mm. So that your whole point of like, what is the franchise? It's like, well, you have to have a story to insert into the premise of people zapping ghosts.
Yeah,
1000%. Because people zapping ghosts isn't a story.
No, it's a toy figure set.
Right, exactly. That's a sales pitch for a toy.
And
if you've got Ghostbusters 1, it has a story to insert into that sales pitch. Afterlife has a story to insert into that sales pitch.
It does.
This doesn't.
It does not. It has no voice. It doesn't know why it exists. It's convoluted. It's confusing. It's messy. It's sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
It has a great story in it.
Yeah, it does.
But it's buried under... layers and layers and layers of everyone having input.
Yeah.
And I feel like if it was just Gil Keenan and Jason Reitman going, no, it's this.
You say that. This. So Gil Keenan wrote this, right?
With Jason Reitman,
With Jason Reitman.
They switched roles on director, yeah.
Right. Because I know that Bill Murray said yes to this film really quickly compared to the other ones, because he'd worked with Gil Keenan before. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
has he? And I Googled it. And it's a film called City of Embers that did not do well financially, critically, or commercially.
No.
And I'm like, why is this guy being given the keys to the kingdom?
Because him and Jason Reitman go right back. He has a working relationship with the original Ghostbusters actors, which is great.
Okay, yeah.
So which is, it's already put him in good stead. I think Jason Reitman trusted him with it because with Afterlife, it was a goodbye to Harold Ramis, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Now, obviously, this film is a goodbye to Ivan Reitman.
Ivan Reitman.
Jason's father.
Yeah.
And as we know from our last episode on Afterlife, the film Afterlife is a very touching, very personal.
It really is, yeah.
Passing of the torch from father to son. I feel like to do that for Harold Ramis and to sort of honor his father, to do that again but after his death is a whole different fucking level of stuff. I think that's why the directors were switched out.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If I made a film saying goodbye to a Ghostbuster who was part of a franchise that my dad arguably spearheaded and helped create, if my dad died, I wouldn't then go, oh, my mate Gil's probably got this. I'd go, I'll make the film to say goodbye to my dad. I mean, I assume so. I don't know. I've never had one.
Same.
I imagine people are quite attached to them, right?
Yeah, I imagine they're around a little while. You know what I mean?
Right.
I saw an interview with Jason Reitman and Ivan Reitman for Afterlife, and it fucking broke me. So Ivan Reitman was in bits. Like, he had to keep excusing himself because he was in tears of how proud he was of his son and how far he'd come and all this and the other. And it was fucking beautiful to watch. But you could tell that the relationship between them was so sincere, and it's this beautiful little nugget of human interaction that... Watch the interview. I'll get you the link later. Watch the interview, but
we'll put the link on the Discord.
Do it. And I think when you're that close and that invested, to do a good Ghostbusters film and a good send-off for your father, who you were very fucking close to, who is like, you know, you view as the epitome filmmaker.
Yeah.
It's like, it's too tall an order, man.
Yeah, okay.
I can imagine that being like insanely, insanely taxing. So I would, in that case, like if we were to, so let's say we made a movie. Right, yeah. My mom has invented a franchise that is world renowned. Right,
yeah,
and she should, because her cottage pies are fantastic. I'd franchise the shit out of that. And we made a film about you know, her franchise, to sort of, she was passing the torch down, and I was directing, and me and you wrote it. And then she passes away, and we're like,
yeah,
well,
maybe you wouldn't want to be wallowing in that for 3 years.
Yeah, fuck no. I'd be like, Rob, can you maybe take this one, mate? I was crying in last episode, and I was like, can you read my research, please? Like, that's the sort of relationship Gil and Jason would have, right?
That makes sense. I mean, if I was Jason, I'd never speak to Gil again.
I was just about to say, if you did to me what Gil did to Jason, I'd fucking fight you in a car park. You made that piece of shit for my dad? Be like, fuck you.
Did you my dad not get on? Like, what?
Did he owe you money? Because I can pay you back, man. Fuck. this film doesn't work as well as past movies. Because obviously the past movies are comedies, and comedies are like, they're easier to nail. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The new timeline, they're not comedies. They're family-centric adventure fantasies. You said it in the last one about Afterlife.
They're more adventure movies. They're like Spielberg Goonies.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Goonies-esque movies, like based around family.
Yeah.
To have an insane cast.
Yeah.
Full of insanely talented actors who are all performing incredibly with their fleshed out characters to a believable point. And have all of that happening in an over-the-top, goofy-ass Ghostbusters lore-ridden universe without comic relief is a fucking tall order.
Yeah.
Like, look at the original film.
They try and get the guy who plays
Nadim.
Firemaster. Nadim.
They try and get Nadim.
Kumail, he tries to be the comic relief, but I think I disagree with you wholeheartedly on this one.
Okay.
I think they don't pick a comic relief. Everyone's a comic relief.
Oh.
And the comedy they go for is the comedy that I'm really fucking tired of now.
Right.
I think I first became like painfully aware of with Chris Pratt's portrayal of Star-Lord.
Okay.
Is the kind of like funny idiot.
Right, okay.
The good-hearted, bit of a bimbo. Everyone in this film is a bimbo. Paul Rudd's character is a bimbo. Kumail, he's a bimbo. Everyone's a fucking bimbo. And so everyone's just bumbling around, being too stupid to understand the dramatic stakes that they're in, which is supposed to be like the lifting of the drama. But all it does is just undercut the drama.
It does. It takes away from it. It doesn't do it in a fun way. It does it in a, in a slightly annoying way.
Right.
It's like being edged for the drama. You know what I mean? So, almost felt something there, buddy.
The moment it gets dramatic, somebody goes, oh my God, they fly now? You're like, oh, yes, they fucking do. All right.
Or Finn Wolfhard boots in a door and goes, what the actual hell, man? And
right, it's like, exactly.
Buddy, like, come on. Right, you can exactly almost hear that. The studio audience going,
yeah. I mean, why did they get him? They've got Finn Wolfhard in the movie. Why is he stuck in an attic fighting Slimer?
Do you want to know the thing that fucked me off about this, right? So his entire storyline in this film is essentially Rick Moranis' storyline from Ghostbusters 2. There was a whole thing in Ghostbusters 2,
right, okay,
where Sully was in the firehouse in a Ghostbusters uniform, running around with a proton pack and a trap, trying to catch Slimer.
Right,
and he
okay
was laying traps. He was like laying out traps of food and trails of Cheetos to a trap and stuff like this.
Okay.
Everything that Finn Wolfhard does in this film, except for in Ghostbusters 2, they were like, no, this doesn't do anything for the story, so we're just going to cut
it. We're going to cut it, right.
It's very fun, but it does fuck all for the film, so it's
okay.
Cut.
Okay, so it's a callback for people who were in the room whilst Ghostbusters 2 was being written.
It's a callback for the 14 people that know about Rick Moranis' deleted storyline from Ghostbusters 2 in 1989. Right, okay. Yeah, it's that.
So something that wasn't good enough for the slightly disappointing sequel back in the 80s. They're like, and I, do you know what it is? There are so many characters in this.
Yeah.
That they want to bring back in. Lucky, who is Finn Wolfhard's girlfriend.
Fuck off.
is brought in as an intern at Winston's HQ. Right?
Yes.
Which is fine, but then, okay, you think she's going to be important to the story. She achieves fuck all. She blasts the main villain for a bit to show that they're impervious to being blasted to stuff. And then at one point, the Ghostbusters get her to go up to the roof as part of their big plan. And then when she's on the roof, she sees a tricycle being wheeled toward, like being ridden by an invisible force towards the firehouse.
Yeah.
She goes on the walkie-talkie. She goes like, oh, there's a tricycle. And they're like, oh, you better come back down.
Yes.
What?
Yes. There is no fucking point. Do you want to know the worst thing about Lucky?
That's her entire thing for the film.
I'm going to go deeper than this, mate.
Right?
That's fucking annoying for this film. But let's think about why she's there in the first place. Let's think about the circumstances in which a burger flipper from Somerville that has no interest in science or ghosts is for some reason given a fully paid for internship at the Ghostbusters secret HQ.
Yeah.
And Phoebe, a fucking Spengler, gets fired from the fucking Ghostbusters. I don't understand in what universe that makes sense. Why is this fast food restaurant worker with zero interest in the subject matter, a fucking intern playing with mood slime and fucking the shitty inventions from 2016 that have somehow come back to never be used again? Why is she playing with that? And Phoebe's told to fuck off and go play chess in the park like a cunt.
I had this debate with the person I saw the movie with. I was like, I don't understand because there's a weird thing where like Phoebe gets honey trapped by this female ghost. So there's this weird thing where like Phoebe gets honey trapped by this ghost of a young girl who died in a fire. Mm-hmm. And she starts talking up like what being a ghost is like. And then she sees the spirit extractor and she has this idea to sneak into the HQ and extract her spirit from her still living body so that she can have like a ghost scissor with Melody or whatever.
Ghost scissor. Fucking and then, hell.
And then while she's there, fucking Garaka, the anorexic antagonist, gets her to say the words. And I'm like, well, this is weird because Melody, the ghost lady, she's like, oh, I'm really sorry, but Garaka needs the voice of a human to activate the thing. And I'm like, but if Garaka needed the voice of a human ghost, you're just knocking about.
Okay.
You're just knocking around New York, right?
I see.
They've gone on this whole convoluted journey of like they've introduced a new character. They've had to fire Phoebe from the Ghostbusters so that she feels isolated enough to become mates with just some random ghost bint who then traps her to then say magic words. And I'm like, they could have just had the orb get dropped.
Okay. I have a little bit of defense for this.
They could have just had James ask Acaster, the British Aegon, trip on a cable and drop it and then go, oops.
Don't you ever fucking call that cock the British Aegon ever again. I swear to God.
I didn't mind him in this film. He was given nothing to do, but he did what he was given to do well.
I cannot stress this enough.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that guy. I love him to pieces as a comedian. He's hilarious. Yeah. He's one of the funniest people to come out of Britain in a very long time, right?
Right.
That being said, shit actor in the Ghostbusters franchise. Just saying, don't ever refer to him as British Aegon. That was I feel that was a personal attack. It cut a lot deeper than I think you intended it to. Fuck yourself very much.
Okay, all sorry. Right? British Venkman. So yeah.
You're a bigger cunt! So.
But yeah, it's just unnecessarily convoluted stuff when it's like,
I have a defense for this.
Right,
I have a defense. Right, you ready?
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense.
Right.
If you look at it through squinted eyes with your head to the left from about 2 miles away, you have to remove yourself from the situation pretty fucking far. Garaka needs a human voice to utter these words, right?
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
He has Melody, who's gone off into the world to try and find a vulnerable human to trick into saying these words. The ghost thing isn't an issue until Melody finds herself in a position where Phoebe's like, I'm going to separate my soul from my body, so then I'll be a ghost for 2 minutes so that we can ghost scissor, a.k.a. Bomb, 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 bomb. Bomb, bomb.
Different song, but okay.
It's a different song.
I can't talk.
Right?
We'll get back to that.
Yeah. So this happens. And then as Phoebe becomes a ghost, Garak is able to take control of her and somehow, for whatever reason, control her human mouth through her ghost body. So, which hasn't happened up to this point. I'll give you that. So she's a ghost and talking, and a normal person body's not talking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just her ghost mouth, but Garaka can somehow, you know, it's like a fucking Google Translate from ghost mouth to man mouth and make her say these words, right?
I mean, Ray's got experience of ghost mouth to man mouth, but...
No, it's ghost mouth to man dick with Ray. That's his area of expertise. Fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So my issue is okay, fair enough. We've solved that plot hole. Mm-hmm. Be a lot easier, though, if you didn't have Lucky to just have Phoebe be the intern.
Yeah.
Because then she'd already be at the ghost HQ.
Where Garaka is.
She wouldn't have to have the ghost lady.
She'd also have the scientific inquisition to be sort of like, I wonder how this works and what gets into it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it would help.
I had some questions for you, and I think we've covered one, right? Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you what the most blatant example of what makes this a bad Ghostbusters film for you. But I'm pretty sure we've covered
a bunch. It's just the main one for me is going back to square one after 40 years. No one believes in ghosts again. No one believes in Ghostbusters again. Winston's somehow on the side of Walter Peck, who's mayor.
You bring Winston up and that's fucking annoying because my second question was, why is Winston a fucking moron, right? Because, he's been running this super secret company, right?
He's got
all the money. He's somehow found a way to not become the richest man on the earth. Yeah. By the discovery and the practical application of literal fucking souls. So he's making like a couple of million, not enough to afford a decent HQ. They're still fucking, you know, testing ghosts in a crack house. So he's not made that much money.
It's an abandoned wet zoo.
That's true. That's still the best term for an aquarium I've ever heard.
Makes sense.
But the ghost containment at the firehouse.
Yeah.
Absolutely fucking chock-a-block. It's like my box of random cables that I've got under my bed.
Sure.
The library ghost from Ghostbusters 1. Still knocking about. Still just there, right?
Yep.
The possessor ghost. Oh, just a bit of glass. Bit of glass and, you know. Oh, there's a crack in the glass. Yeah, a bit of gaffer tape. That'll be fine. They get new equipment halfway through this film.
They do.
But, like, they get it 2 minutes before the big bad guy turns up.
They do.
And it's still shit. There are no public relations with his company. Nobody knows about the Ghostbusters. There's literally a man running a Ghostbuster company who's got millions.
Yeah.
Do some fucking promoted tweets on Insta, mate. Like,
put a flyer out.
Get Phoebe Flyer in, mate. Do you know what I mean?
There you go.
And then
get Lucky Flyer in. She knows nothing.
Right. And then there's no fail safes whatsoever. It's like, oh, well, if the ghosts get out of this cage, then what? Well, then they're just out. That's not how science works. Unless you're in Wuhan, but yeah.
Is that too soon? Is it too soon, though? Let us know in the comments. No, I feel like a backup generator to keep the little force field that protects the glass.
Anything.
Anything would have been good. Yeah, fucking a ghost net. Yeah. Just fuck one man with a proton. Give Lucky a proton pack and tell her to sit on a fucking stool.
Right.
She knows nothing. She doesn't care about science. Fuck. Sorry, I'm hung up on this. It's really pissing me off. Sorry, it's my bad. Okay, I have some defense and I can't excuse other bits, right?
Yep.
Library ghost still active. No fucking reason why. Can't tell you.
No.
No clue. None whatsoever. Because everyone's fine with it. It's been 40 years. She's just moved down a couple levels. What is this? If it's unfinished business, is she waiting for like fucking, what, John Wayne Gacy to pay off his fucking late fees? Like, what are we doing? What is this shit?
Either that or it's just classic fucking deferment stuff where like, I've got a laundry chair. Do you know what I mean?
That's
I'm like, I'll do
that's
my laundry.
The
They're that's just the all the Ghostbusters like, oh yeah, the library ghost. We'll get to that. I'm just going
to...
No
one goes
to
the fucking library. You know what I mean? It's fine. Okay, so honestly, I feel like Winston's got himself to a point. He's so successful with his finance business
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't really need to have like a hands-on critical thinking role in stuff. He
right, okay.
can hire the brains in. Because if you go back to the original Ghostbusters, he was like the muscle, right?
Yeah,
He was the guy that was given a job and he would believe in anything as long as it was a steady paycheck. That was his story arc. And it's a great one. Because we've all been there. Fuck it, I'm there now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
He was never sort of like the big science guy. He was never the big finance guy. He wasn't the psychologist. Venkman was the psychologist. You've got Ray and Egon, who were the big science guys, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So him being great in business makes sense. He just pays other people to bring the brains in.
Yeah.
Do all the work for him. He's just sort of like, oh, we need more containment units.
He's Elon Musk.
He's Elon Musk. He's Elon Musk. That's the best way to do it.
He's a fucking moron who buys other people's good ideas and then claims it was his.
That's exactly what it is. I think he's at that point. Right. So you said about the equipment.
Right.
Now, this is a problem. I have a defense for it
mm-hmm.
because it also brings up the reason why they would have Ghostbusters branded Parker jackets in June or July or whenever this film's set.
Right.
He was working on new, improved proton packs.
Apparently, for 40 years, yeah.
Yeah, he would have been tweaking it with his new science brains. Mm-hmm. I almost said British Egon, but it made my piss boil to the point of where I'm like, I would never respect myself again. They got James Acaster's character, the fucking forgettable guy that disappears for no fucking reason. they've got these brains working on improved proton packs. The problem with that is Walter Peck shuts down the Ghostbusters again
mm-hmm.
and takes away all of their equipment again for no reason other than for people to go, oh no, now they've got no equipment. 32
Peril.
Seconds later, there is a knock on the door because apparently Winston and his boys have just been chilling outside watching the police take all of the shit out of the firehouse. And they're like, oh, they're going to feel silly in a minute when we roll around this corner with a van full of shit. What are you talking about?
That there are so many problems with this plot. You can tell a plot is overstuffed when you have a massive cast, so massive that when the villain turns up, they immediately temporarily disable 2/3 of the cast who then just stand there.
Yeah.
Because it's clearly indicative that the writers were like, well, what's Venkman doing during this? Oh, fuck. Yeah, Venkman would. Oh, well, he's frozen. He can't move. All right. Well, what about Winston? Well, yeah, he's frozen too. Okay, what about this? They're all frozen.
What about everybody apart from Phoebe, who's made one proton pack that she knows will work?
Right.
Not four. One.
No. So what you could have had is you could have had three different teams going off. You've got the OG Ghostbusters achieving something in Queens, when you've got the new school achieving something in Brooklyn, while you've got the fucking also rans achieving something in, I don't know, New Jersey. Like you could have split them up, but no, you're like, no, let's have 16 fuckers all in the same place, and then look, okay, we've been very negative, we've been very angry. I also want to say that lots of people do enjoy this film.
They do, and they're right to.
This isn't the sequel for us.
No.
If this was the sequel for you, we're sorry. But how would you fix this burning pile of shit?
Okay, so how do we move forward from here? I have three options that I thought of.
Right.
Option one, we find the great storytellers who are great fans of the Ghostbusters with something to say in relation to this universe, and we just let them run with it.
You're thinking like a Zack Snyder.
If Zack Snyder went anywhere near this fucking franchise, I would literally, I'd burn my DVDs. It's the only way, it's the only thing that I would ever support, like a book burning style ritual of.
Right, yeah, yeah.
The fine. Snyder Ghostbusters verse would be 9 hours of Jared Leto wanking himself off in a mirror. Fuck off. Fuck off. Can't be arsed with it.
Okay, oh, option two.
Option two. We implement our own lore-specific universe rules that explain why we keep getting the same fucking situation over and over in New York.
Yeah.
You've solved this. Yeah, you've solved this. Don't say we. I had nothing to do with it. You solved this. Make a fucking side effect of ghostly hauntings that means that people forget about them, but a select few of the population are immune to it, and they're the Ghostbusters.
Rehypnagul. Yeah.
Okay.
Option three. What's option three?
Option three, we don't move forward with it. We let it fucking lie. We build on some side stories and some expansive universe stuff, like the Star Wars universe with all the fucking TV shows and stuff. We build on it that way.
Maybe not.
And we let it go. Yeah, I'm not invested in it, but tons of people love them. So, they're doing something right. And if that's the case, cool. I don't have to waste my time in a fucking cinema going and watching nine seasons of some cunt that was in it for 3 seconds. Okay, four options. Option four, and this might be my favorite.
Oh, wow, okay.
We encourage the world to go all Mad Max, and then we implement a limb tax system for shitty sequels. Throw in Slimer in for no good reason, other than to go, hey, yeah, but look, it's Slimer. You lose a finger.
Mm.
We end up in New York again.
Okay, this...
Down on our luck again.
Right.
No one believes again, even though we all fucking know that the ghosts exist in this fucking universe. You lose something really important, like a fucking pelvis or... two-thirds of one shin bone.
That was so much to come out of nowhere. I can't help but feel like you've been thinking about the limb tax for some time.
Limb tax has been on the tip of my tongue for a few episodes now. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. It's been there, but I feel brave enough this episode to talk about it openly.
Okay, you're speaking your truth, and that's what's important, you know?
This is where I start announcing my manifesto, you know what I mean?
Right.
Oh my God.
If you and I ever find ourselves in a position where we're drafting a manifesto, that should be a red flag. I feel like with all bad ideas, right, they're all sliding scales. If you, dear listener, are at a point where you cannot watch porn without plugging in a USB drive that boots into a separate version of an operating system, you've got to know you've taken a wrong turn somewhere, right?
If you're in a cafe with a laptop open in front of you and people are like, oh, wow, we must be writing a screenplay, but you have a document titled My Manifesto, help. Get help. That's all I'm going to say.
There's a point where you go, I can't find this on a regular website. Maybe there's a reason for that.
Yes, it doesn't exist in the normal world for a fucking reason.
Take
a long, hard look at that one and go, I'm all right. You know what I mean?
I'm all right. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. That's what
it is. What are you rating Ghostbusters Frozen Empire?
3.
Ooh.
The characters are great. The actors are great. The story is shocking. I think it's almost insulting that this is a send-off for Ivan. I know Ivan, like, gave his go-ahead on the film, but I can't help but wonder whether he'd still give his go-ahead after watching it. And, I mean, fucking more importantly, mate, Ghostbusters is, like, my little happy place. It's when I was a kid and the arguments started and the voices got loud and I could go and pop the VHS in, tune the world out a little bit. I know it's, like, mad irrational, right? But I see the shitty attempts to sequel that as a very personal attack. Like, I know it's irrational and I know it's stupid.
Is this your Ghostbusters 2016?
This is my manifesto. Right. My brain's wired strange. I am who I am. You know, I'm fine with it. It's fine.
Yeah.
The point of this series was trying to decipher why Ghostbusters is such a hard fucking film to sequel. The answer is it isn't. It's been done many times and made countless people happy. And that's great. I fucking love that. Just because I don't understand it or agree with it doesn't mean that one of my favorite universes isn't being developed and built in and expanded. And fucking who knows what's around the corner for Ghostbusters. You know what I mean? All of this bullshit all of this bullshit is subjective anyway. So, fuck it. I think the most important thing is people find enjoying it. Fact of the matter is, I didn't. Fuck this film. 3 out of 10. End of manifesto.
I read a fact about this movie that would have made this film make a lot more sense.
Okay.
In the cinema.
Yeah.
And it's a fact they could have... I do feel for them. Nobody could predict the writer's strike.
No.
So this was supposed to be released on December the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had they leaned into a seasonal It's a Ghostbusters with a slight Christmas angle...
Sure.
I would have enjoyed that more.
Same.
This Same. Film coming out in the middle of summer...
yeah.
Less so.
Yeah.
Less so. Not many people are going to go back and watch every installment of the Ghostbusters franchise before watching this movie.
No.
The majority of people are going to watch this film with half-remembered, at best, glimpses of what Ghostbusters is and can be.
Exactly.
Go in, see a fun family movie that's essentially meaningless, and that's fine.
Aggressively fine.
But, like, not every... You don't need to remember every sexual partner's name, is my point, right? Some people, you meet them... Some people, you meet them... And you may not even like them at first, but you develop a strong relationship. They teach you things about yourself. And as you grow, they grow with you and they keep you and you keep them better people.
Okay.
And that's what I feel like Ghostbusters 1 is for you. Mm-hmm. But other people, just like the person that you will eventually marry, there will be a string of people who've just met them for the night, had some disappointing sex and moved on with their life.
Don't you talk about my future wife that way.
All right. Okay, sorry. I forgot you're only going to marry a virgin. So
I'm only going to marry a ghost who is trying to trap me into uttering ancient words to free a demon from a ball.
I guess the point I'm kind of terribly getting to is right. that not everybody is married to Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
some people just want to dip in, have a fun night, and then forget the name of the fucking franchise the next day.
Of course.
And this is very easy to do that with.
Yeah. It's a great film for people that are fans of the new timeline because you're getting more of what, you know, was started in the last one. That's great.
I mean, it's an okay film for fans of the new timeline. There's not really a story. Stuff just happens, then it ends. 2 out of 10.
All right, well, there you go.
Do we have time for Comic Corner?
We do, buddy. So I have a message here sent in to us on our Facebook.
Ooh.
I know. I didn't even realize this was still a thing, but it popped up and I was like, it says you got a message. And I was like, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it wasn't my message. It was on the podcast thing. So Zach Zachary, thank you very much for reminding us that Facebook exists and that we do have messages there sometimes because there was like 7 unanswered ones in there. Apologies to those guys. Zach Zachary got in touch and said, long time listener, first time caller. I love you guys, but my God, matey boy was butchering the Batman tune last week. Yes, he was.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
Danny Elfman would be turning in his grave. He's not dead, but one can only assume he sleeps in the grave since all the Burton movies he's done. It sounded more like Rob was humming the bad guy music from Lord of the Rings, and then brackets, cue images of the Uruks running through the trees. And then he goes on to say, but I digress. You guys are great. You've made me realize that we're all struggling together. And then in brackets, even super famous podcasters have issues. I'm like, oh buddy.
If we're the threshold for super famous.
No, fuck no. Send us the fucking link to the super famous podcasters that have these issues because maybe we don't feel as alone. Made me realize that we're all struggling together and led me down some movie rabbit holes. Feels more like catching up with mates than listening to a podcast. Keep it up, boys.
Ooh.
I said, thank you. I knew it wasn't Batman. Secondly, thanks for reaching out to us. It means the world.
Yeah.
Do you mind being featured on this week's Comment Corner? And he said he would be honored. But also, he is a fellow Midlander. So there you go.
Well,
Midlands!
Well, yeah, because look, I fucked up, all right? I hummed a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like being the only child at a pedo math conference. It has been coming in from all angles, TikTok, Instagram, mm-hmm. Discord. Everyone's been like, you're a dickhead. Ha ha, it's Lord of the Rings. Firstly... I'm not a nerd, so go fuck yourself. If you like Lord of the Rings. That's not true. I do like Lord of the Rings and I am
you
a nerd.
You love it.
I don't love Lord of the Rings. It's
fine.
Out
of me and you, you're the Lord of the Rings guy.
Yeah, because I saw them when they came out, whereas you saw them like 2 weeks ago when Magic the Gathering released a card set, Ben. So who's the fucking nerd now, all right?
Well, if you really paid attention, you know it was a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking idiot.
So I've just changed my comic corner because I'd forgot that yours mentioned the fuckinging that was me humming the wrong theme tune. There's a chap here who's commented on one of our Little Shop of Horrors reels.
Okay.
And it's quite an insightful one. He's just said, this is Mike Howells, 5963, 5 hours ago.
Yeah.
It looked like a booger in your nose.
Ah.
It is, so it's look like, and then booger is spelled B-U-G-E-R.
Amazing.
Yep.
That's fucking incredible. Is that about my nose ring?
Yeah.
Dude, my nose ring gets so much attention. It's
unreal. So much hate. I've just commented, aw, thanks. Then I put a little hearts emoji.
Yeah,
because I just like the idea that you're just on the internet.
Yeah.
With absolutely no need to interact with a stranger. And you see something physical about them and you're like, I'm going to be mean about this person's physical choices.
It looked
and
like
then just
booger.
Comment it. It looked like booger in your nose. And you got this little laughing face. Just it's like a drive-by fuck you.
Do you know, I fucking love that though so much. They're my favorite type of comments. The ones that are just drive-by right. fuck yous. It's
Ricky Gervais always said getting annoyed at something on the internet is like walking past the notice board at your village and seeing an advert for guitar lessons and going, but I don't want guitar lessons.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's like seeing a flyer for a movie podcast and then just writing on the flyer.
Yeah.
Look like booger in your nose.
It's like standing at a bus stop and having a white BMW drive past you 30 miles an hour and then they just throw an uncooked raw potato at the bus stop hoping to hit you.
Yeah.
Incredible. Genuine experience that happened to me in London. Yeah, there you go.
Really?
Yeah. There you go.
Well, tampon thrown at me once.
See what I mean? London is a fucking hellscape. Why does anyone live there?
That was Plymouth. That was the school bus.
The south of England is a fucking hellscape. Why does anyone live there? It's ridiculous. Unfortunately, guys, that is all the time we have for this week. If you want to be featured in next week's comment corner, make sure you drop us a comment on TikTok, Instagram. Fucking get in on the Discord. Everyone in there is lovely and tells us what to do.
They do indeed. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Now, Ben is going to give you a little Monday motivation. You've spent an hour of your time with us, most of you at the start of the week. And, you know, that's lovely.
We love
little.
You for
so
it.
Ben's going to give you a little Monday motivation now. Whilst I cosplay as society and tell you to consume.
The only fucking takeaway that we can get from Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is do better. You know what I mean? Just fucking put in the minimal effort. Don't be the floppy fruit winder that just drops shittily to the floor. Be the plane crash that's hitting the ground in 25 seconds. You know what I mean? That's what you need to aim for. Also, south of England, fuck you. Move north. Love you. Bye.
Bye.